Good morning. In the summer of 1904, it was hot. It was really hot. It was the World's Fair in St. Louis, and people were searching for something to cool them down. And there was a vendor whose name was Arnold, and he had just what they were looking for: ice cream. So people lined up for what seemed like miles to get this nice, cool, satisfying ice cream. But what Arnold didn't anticipate was the number of people, so he ran out of paper bowls to put the ice cream in. Next to Arnold's stand was a man named Ernest, who was a pastry chef. And he was making kind of a Persian wafer dessert. And Ernest also had a problem. His pastry wasn't selling. So he noticed the problem that Arnold was having, and he took some warm pastry, and he rolled it into the shape of a cone. And then he went over and he showed Arnold how he could put the ice cream into the cone. And it was at the 1904 World Fair that the ice cream cone was born. You know, it was these two vendors that worked together. Each had a gift, each had something. And they brought these things together to solve a problem and to serve a purpose. And it's really not much different when it comes to the church. We're called to work together to witness Christ into the world, and we do that in a lot of different ways. We each come to the table with our own stuff. And the key is that we have to be active participants in the life of Christ, in God's love. Now, Jesus, as we learned in our Easter and Lent services, he gave everything for us. Everything. So we could have life and have it abundantly. So our response has to be active. We have to respond. When someone hands us a gift, we don't just take the gift and walk away. We respond in some way. Now, if someone paid for your dinner and then asked you to pay it forward, our response would be gratitude and to do what they had asked us to do, to live in integrity and pay it forward. Our response as a body of Christ, the church, is to recognize what each of us has to offer, and then come alongside one another and make ice cream cones for the world. When the Israelites faced their first battle after the Exodus, they needed to work together to be victorious. We heard the scripture, Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 18. Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and they cut off all that lagged behind. They had no fear of God. This happens to us when we are weary and worn out from the world. Things come against us. We weren't meant to face this world or its dangers alone. When we don't practice spiritual vitality through prayers and Bible reading and ministering to those around us and worshiping God together, we begin to feel spiritually weary and worn out. We begin to lag behind. We begin to feel vulnerable. Now, it doesn't matter how skilled or special each of us is. When we pool our resources together in God's name, we can do abundantly more than we could ever hope or imagine. Moses had a simple job. All he had to do was hold up his hands, Not a hard thing to do. Hold up your hands. As long as Moses held his hands up, stick them up. I'm sorry. It just, y'all look very funny. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites started winning. Now, we know that battles rage for we don't know how long until somebody wins, right? This very simple task now of holding his arms up becomes almost impossible, because when you don't see how long it's going to be, it becomes harder. But God provides, doesn't he? So when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and they put him under it, and he sat on it. Now, he wouldn't have been able in this way to roll a stone under himself. Aaron and Hur came alongside him, and each of them helped him hold his hands up so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army. So we see very clearly that when Moses, Aaron, and Hur worked together to lift hands toward God as God had requested, the house of Israel, God's children, prevailed. When they did this, God worked through them to do abundantly more than they could hope for or think of. Now, there wasn't one point where Aaron and Hur abandoned Moses. Nor did they walk away and say, God be with you, Moses. God bless you. I'll pray for you. They didn't do that either. What do you suppose would have happened? There's a new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that has found that training surgical personnel in teamwork has reduced the surgical mortality rate by 18%. That's an improved survival rate of 1 in 5. Now, the results clearly demonstrate that this is life and death importance of working together to accomplish a mutual objective. The study found that technical acuity, while critical, can only just do so much to secure a positive outcome. It says, for decades, surgery and anesthesiology have focused on the technical work, but the harm that's occurring from surgery is happening due to teamwork failure, not technical failures. I know Moses was an old man, but couldn't God have given him the strength in his arms that he wouldn't need Aaron and Hur standing there alongside him to keep his arms up? I suppose he could have. But that wasn't the purpose. He didn't want Moses to work alone. And that's why Christ ordained the church. There are some things that God equips us with to do alone, and there are also some things where we need help. We need to recognize those things. When Israel was facing this unexpected battle from the Amalekites, it affected the entire nation. So it was going to take a group effort to pull it off. We too are facing unexpected battles all around us. We're facing unexpected battles that are going to take the entire nation of Crossroads working together to be victorious. It'll happen when each of us comes together alongside one another, when each of us brings our individual gifts and graces to build each other up to impact the community. Moses, Aaron, and Hur work together. They help each other. They work together as a team. And their work impacts those around them in a very important way. What would it look like if the success or failure of our community depended on us doing our part? And the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered." Moses built an altar and he called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord." Now, interestingly, this is actually the first time that we read that God has given instructions to write something down. And I find it really poignant because obviously God wanted this event to be recorded and remembered for future generations. He wanted us to be encouraged, and he wanted us to learn this lesson of how we work together. When people work together and are prayerful, looking to God for support, and God comes through, it's something that we need to write down and speak of later. It's something we need to note. If we come together and we stay together and we work together and build up the body of believers together, we see God at work. And God multiplies our efforts. That's a miracle. And this is something to mark and remember. But we can't do it unless we make a move toward God. Today is the day, and now is the time. God is asking you to make your move. You can feel that nudge on your heart. God is offering you the opportunity to be about the work of the body of believers so that his glory can shine through. And when we come together, offering what each of us has, miraculous things happen, and God is glorified. I would ask you right now that you would take out your connection cards, fill them out if you have not yet, and prayerfully consider, what's your move? Amen.